NFL fans, we are back for another Locked On NFL Thursday podcast. We have a lot to discuss on today's show. First, a big-time Thursday night football matchup between the Tennessee Titans and the San Francisco 49ers. We are going to break that down. In our second segment, we are going to talk about some power rankings. We're going to look at the Locked On power rankings and see things that we agree with, and then, of course, some things that we don't agree with. And then finally, we're going to have some fun to cap off the show and talk about the best gift that the NFL fan base has received this year, and then the worst gift that the NFL fan base has received this year. All of that and more on a Locked On NFL Thursday. Let's roll.
You are Locked On NFL. Your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
NFL fans, I am Tyler Rowland, host of Locked On Titans, here with Alex Clancy, host of Locked On Cardinals, and we are excited to kick off this Week 16 slate of football. We are going to talk about this Thursday night football game first. Before we do, want to thank you guys for making the Locked On NFL podcast your first listen every day. Make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you do stream so you never miss an episode. We are going to dive into this Thursday night football matchup between the team that I cover on a daily basis, the Tennessee Titans, and one of the team that Alex covers, his division rival, the San Francisco 49ers. So obviously, Alex, I'm gonna start off and kind of take the lead here on this. The Titans are going to be without their starting left side of the offensive line. They are already one of the worst pass protection teams in the NFL. They're going to be going up against Nick Bosa, who has been absolutely on fire as of late. I got to tell you, if I'm the Titans, I'm having 911 on speed dial, and I am putting some extra padding on Ryan Tannehill and maybe even reserving a hospital bed for him for what may happen during this game. I think the Titans are in a bad spot based on that pass rush versus pass protection matchup. I do think that with the addition of A.J. Brown, the addition of Julio Jones, who should be out there for the Titans, both of them on Thursday night, that it should, give them a little bit of support in that realm, but it doesn't matter who you have at wide receiver if you don't give the quarterback long enough to throw the ball. So I think the Titans are going to be in a tough spot against a super red-hot San Francisco 49er team who's really gotten things going, especially in that red zone offense category where they're number one. I think the Titans end up losing this game, and I see them losing about 23-10, honestly. I don't think it's going to be very close. The Titans have had 13 turnovers combined in three of their last four games, so they're going to turn over the ball. Bosa is going to be all over Ryan Tannehill, and I just don't see how the Titans are going to be able to score consistently in this game to keep up, and then they're going to put San Francisco in advantageous situations with the turnovers to make it easy on their offense, even though the Titans have a good run defense. I just don't think that the Titans have the pass blocking necessary to win this game. I thought that before I found out that the Titans' starting left guard and starting left tackle were out. I believe that even more now with that news. So considering all that, I know it's tough to go against, you know, what I am saying here as I cover the team every day, but I know that you focus on the NFL a lot. So how do you see this matchup playing out?
I want to throw up because Kyle Shanahan's done an exemplary job the second half of the season. He really right. has. Bo Brock, co-host of myself, Locked On Cardinals, we like to make fun of Shanahan, poke fun at him because he's only had one non-10 loss season as a head coach since he's taken over there. Obviously, they made the Super Bowl that year. As the running game goes, the 49ers go. As healthy as Jimmy Garoppolo goes, the 49ers go. When both of those are working, regardless of who's running the ball, the 49ers are dangerous. And the reason why the 49ers are dangerous is, on top of all of that this year, it was always in the conversation, like, if Deebo Samuel can stay healthy and he can pop, this team is going to be very dangerous offensively. I'll tell you what, DJ Samuel is healthy and he's dangerous and he's popping as we speak. Him running the ball is not fair. It's LeBron James running the football. You know, it's something that, with that run scheme, so genius by Kyle Shanahan. Listen, I don't like to give him a lot of praise, but that team has been a top five team in the NFL the last handful of weeks. Like, you don't want to play them. Get off it with the Jimmy Garoppolo loathing. Jimmy Garoppolo is a very above average serviceable quarterback. When you play him in the game plan, it's a Jim Harbaugh, Alex Smith relationship. It's these are the six plays we're going to run, and this is what's going to make you a star. And Alex Smith made over $100 million after Jim Harbaugh was done with him. So Garoppolo got it early. But yeah, on the other side with Tennessee, you can't win when everybody's injured, you know, and it's so unfair that people are like, you can never use injuries as an excuse. You can when your whole offense is injured. And I know that AJ Brown's going to be back. I get that. Okay. But it's still, this is a pass blocking, run first majority of the time offense. And when you don't have Derrick Henry, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. Now, they are still one of the better teams in the AFC with all those injuries. I still think San Francisco is going to roll. And I think they're a 3-point favorite as of right now to Bet Online. We'll talk about Bet Online in the second part of our second spot block. But I think San Francisco is going to roll. I mean, because they can play anywhere. This is the time of year. We talked about this last week. Teams that can play anywhere, run, slow the clock down, and throw, they're going to be dangerous. And San Francisco is one of those teams.
Yeah, and the Titans have a really good run defense. They've only allowed 43 rushing yards in the last two games combined. Now, one of those was against Jacksonville, and as I've said all week on my personal show, Jacksonville is not an NFL team right now, so it's kind of hard to take anything that happened in that game into account. So I kind of throw that out. But the Titans are a good run defense, but one of the big things is they use a rookie cornerback, Elijah Molden, as their slot cornerback on rundowns because he's a great blitzer. He's great physical in the run game. They're going to be without him as he's on the COVID list. So you don't have a guy who really tilts the scale numbers-wise because the Titans can stay in nickel but still be good in run defense. And when you're going up against a team that runs the ball so well and has George Kittle on the perimeter, I just think there are a lot of things that are setting up for the Titans. And you're right, you can't use injuries as an excuse in the NFL. But the reality is the Titans have had the most injuries in NFL history. They've had the most players on the active roster in the history of the league. So I don't think it's just a normal injury situation for the Titans, but they are getting AJ Brown back. They will have Julio, so maybe they'll be able to get some things done, but I just don't see a consistent offensive approach from the Titans. We are going to get into the power rankings in this game before we do, or the power rankings that we put together before this game kicks off from the Week 15 action. Before we do want to tell you guys about Stat Hero. No one plays daily fantasy sports to lose. Winning feels so much better, but traditional fantasy sports are a long time losing proposition because you never know who or what you're up against. Stat Hero is the first of its kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you against the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup where the winner takes all. And here's the crazy part. Stat Hero shows you their lineup before you play, and you handpick your team that you want to face one-on-one. This never-before-seen innovation in fantasy sports and sports betting has Stat Hero players clocking odds that are over four times better. Why? Because you don't have to compete against thousands of experts or unknowns. Stat Hero puts you in control of your fate. With Stat Hero, you're in control of the stakes. You decide how much you're going to play for, and Stat Hero has no choice but to take it because they're daring you to beat them. Stat Hero head-to-head is what daily fantasy should be, one-on-one. So sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 100% deposit match. That's stathero.com/lockedon. Use promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% match. stathero.com/lockedon. Promo code LOCKEDON. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, second segment, Locked On NFL Thursday. Alex Clancy, Tyler Rowland, thank you for making Locked On NFL your first listen every day, free and available on all platforms. Tyler, how do I feel about paywalls? I do not like paywalls. That's
you hate
for sure.
You hate them? Yeah, you hate them as much as me being on mute, taking a drink of water.
Well, I didn't want to say anything. Follow him at Tic Tac Titans. Follow me at Clancy's Corner. Check him out on Locked On Titans every day. Me, myself, and Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. So it's time for power rankings. It was a weird week because there was a doubleheader on Tuesday night, yielding kind of a step back in power rankings for the Locked On NFL Network, where we rank the teams. I feel like these are the best that we've seen from everybody. And Tyler's gonna put it up here. Packers are the best team in the NFL right now. I feel like that's that's pretty obvious. So let's just run down the top 10 for those that are listening at home. Packers, Chiefs, Rams, Bucks, Cowboys, Cardinals, Colts, Patriots, Bills, Chargers, Titans, and then 49ers are at 12. I feel like, so those are, if you're in fantasy sports, those are your ones. QB1, wide receiver 1, 1 through 12. And I feel like that's about right. The Chiefs are catapulting up this list, skyrocketing up this list to the 2 spot. The Rams, after an ugly win against Seattle, and then the Bucks, Cowboys, Cardinals round out the top 6 with the Colts right behind, who the Cardinals play Saturday. I feel like this is about right. I feel like the Locked On NFL host knocked it out of the park here. What say you, Tyler Rowland?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. It's hard to really complain about any of this. Now, I think that the Bucks at 4, they should be over the Rams. I know that, you know, the Rams beat them earlier in the year, but that was a long, long time ago. And the Bucks lost that game against the Saints, but they didn't have Mike Evans. They didn't have Chris Godwin. They didn't have Leonard Fournette. Lost all those guys during that game. And for me, I know that the Bucks are going to be better than the Rams. Like, I believe that 100%. I don't trust the Rams, so I don't like that the Rams are higher than the Bucks right now, even with that head-to-head. I don't necessarily believe in that, but either way, that's something that really sticks out to me. But I kind of agree with you. I agree with the sentiment here. I think the rankings are pretty good, and of course, I was involved in the rankings, so good job by me getting all that right. Flipping to the other side of things, it's tough because there's so much upheaval when it comes to, you know, injuries and the COVID list and all of that. But, you know, you look at a team like the Dolphins, who's won so many games in a row, and they're at 21. I would take the Dolphins over the Broncos right now. I would take the Dolphins over the Eagles right now. I would probably take the Dolphins over the Steelers right now. So I think the Dolphins deserve a little bit more credit. Probably is where I would go. Other than that, though, I mean, I kind of agree with everything. I do want to give a shout out to the Lions, who are at number 28, even though all the teams are 29, 30, and 31 have more wins. I agree with that. I think the Lions would beat the Giants, the Jets, or the Texans right now. So I'm there. But yeah, generally speaking, I kind of like what the list has. Is there anything else on the list that really stands out to you?
Well, the only thing that really stands out, and this is cheating, this answer, but 22 teams have 7 wins or more, Tyler.
Crazy.
22 teams. Okay. So remember, during the beginning of the season, we were talking about the absolute removal of the middle class teams in the NFL. It was either you're really good or you're going to be relegated out of the Premier League after this season. Now, it's the antithesis of that. Like,
right.
You've got how many teams in the AFC can make the playoffs? 13 of 16. It's absolutely insane what we're watching. Like, and the best part about all of this is that there's a 17th game, baby. Like, we get another week of this. This is where the 17th game selfishly is going to just it. You know what? I'm going to wait. It's one of the best things the NFL has shifted towards this season, because we're looking at the Colts, the Chargers, and the Bills, and the Ravens, and the Steelers with 6 losses. And then you have Raiders, as you mentioned, the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Broncos, all within a game of the 6th playoff spot. Not just the 7th, the 6th. This is going to be absolutely insane. Tiebreaker-wise, I cannot wait for the last handful of weeks through the season. Yep. Like, we all win here. And that's the big thing with power rankings. And it just shows, it puts into perspective how many, I mean, sweet mother, anybody can make the playoffs. Either you're getting a top 5 pick or you can make the playoffs.
Go either way. You know, honestly, I got to say that, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the next segment, because I have a few things to say, but with all of the COVID issues and the injury issues in the NFL, I think that's been a lot of what's caused you know, all of the parity and kind of a jump away from what we've seen in previous seasons, because these teams are just not whole when they're playing each other. And when you have that much change and that much upheaval, it makes it a lot easier for, you know, crazier things to happen. So here's one final look at the power rankings. If you are watching on YouTube, just taking a look at what we have here. But yeah, I'm with you in your initial take. I think the rankings are pretty good, and this is a pretty solid. There's maybe one or two teams here and there, but when all these teams are jumbled up so much and they're all so even and there's so much parity, it does make it pretty difficult to rank, because I mean, if the Vikings and the Eagles played each other right now, who's winning that game? You know, it makes it tough. Like, the Cardinals and the Colts are right next to each other and they're playing this weekend. Who wins that game? It's up in the air. It could go either way. So I think that with all of that in mind, it's made for an entertaining season so far, and it's going to make for, right, like you mentioned, a super, super entertaining finish to the season with all these teams so jumbled up on top of each other.
For sure. And you know what? Let's segue right now. You know, the NFL has given us a presence we love and some empty stockings because we were bad kids. And, you know, through no fault of our own, which were the best presents the NFL has given us up until this point, and which ones weren't the greatest, whether it be storylines, players, etc. Tyler and I are going to have our fun segment, as we always do in the third segment. First, I get to talk to you about SoFi Stadium and On Location. Super Bowl 56 at SoFi is less than 100 days away, and On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats and choose from elite experiences featuring an exclusive pregame celebration with NFL legends, five-star LA hotels, and food by the great Wolfgang Puck. Gotta love him. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information, or search Super Bowl On Location. That's onlocationexp.com/SB56. Or search Super Bowl On Location. And also, as I mentioned, Tyler, the 49ers are a 3-point favorite on the road in Nashville against your Tennessee Titans. You know where that line comes from? BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before, as football continues its march through the College Bowl season and football playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one sport for all the sports action this season. Go to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers today. BetOnline, that was a nailed live read compared to the crap that I put up last week. Excuse me, BetOnline. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Alex, it's time.
I'm ready.
It's time. Let's have a little bit of fun, a little Christmas-themed final conversation for us here on a Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. As we said, we're going to talk about the best gifts that the NFL has given us this year. We're also going to talk about some of the worst gifts that we got, the pair of socks that we got, which I got to say, as you become an adult, I'll take socks and underwear all
day. They're comfortable.
I need that stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Especially if you get you some Stance socks, oh, a little. Nice. They didn't, you know, they didn't nope. ask for this advertisement, nope. but I'm just giving them a free Christmas gift to Stance. Free advertisement. But I'll start here with one of the best gifts that we got from the NFL, and it kind of riffs on what we were just talking about. And to me, it's the parody. We all love the witching hour at the end of the opening window on Sunday, where you got a ton of different games and it's all close and you don't know who's going to win. We're basically going to get like the playoff seeding version of that the last two, three weeks of the season, because everybody's so jumbled up. All the different tiebreakers, all the different machinations, the conference records, the strength of schedule, the strength of victory, all that stuff is going to matter so much. And I know if you're like me, I love diving in and all that stuff and seeing if they got to win here and they got to do this. And if this happens, they win. That stuff is going to be just intensified and ratcheted up to a crazy level this year with how close and how tight everybody is. The NFL is always known for its parity. So I am going to say one of the best gifts that the NFL gave its fans and gave to me this year was and even it's parody on steroids this year for the NFL. And I truly will appreciate all the great, intense, and meaningful football that we'll get in these last few weeks.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you two. I agree. I mean, because that's an easy one. Again, it reminds me of the basketball video. I will have that up. I will have that clip somewhere. It's a just Google Kenny Mayne basketball playoff scenarios. There's potato sack races, consecutive Sundays till a winner is determined. There's a couple things that the NFL has given us. One, I almost buried the lead. The 17th game. I know it's not fair. I know as a fan and as somebody that covers the NFL, we win. I don't know if the players win. I don't know if I wouldn't necessarily be happy if I were the players for 17 weeks. And that's how we're for me personally, getting to watch and cover a 17th game it's only one more game, but it's everything. It's everything. Mm-hmm. It's like another wild card weekend for playoff contending teams, especially this year.
Especially this year.
All the parity. Yeah. And then number two, and I was actually about to tweet this out earlier today. Do you remember when Peyton Manning retired and Drew Brees was getting older and Tom Brady was still there, Aaron Rodgers was still there, but then you look around the league and you're like, before Patrick Mahomes popped, it's like, oh no, what's the future of the quarterback situation going to be? Are we going to go back to watching run the ball and play defense? Are we going back to the 70s? Like, is that what we're going to be watching now? And then you look at 22 teams having 7 wins or more, and like, you know what? We're going to be okay. The NFL and the quarterbacking is going to be okay. Even though you looked at the 2022 draft, and it looks like high school kids coming out compared to what we've seen over the last handful of years, 22 teams have an average to above average quarterback, because you cannot win games in the NFL without it. Even Tua, your boy. That you said that like you've been on the Tua bandwagon for a while, even though you know you don't think necessarily he's the guy, but you've been on that, especially with the amount of games that they've been winning.
Yeah,
the NFL is going to be okay, and that's the biggest gift you can give anybody that covers the NFL, because without quarterback play, the NFL is for naught. You can win games other ways, but it's not as fun.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And we see the drop-off when you have a quarterback that isn't really NFL starter caliber. It really kind of hurts the watchability of the games and what you expect and what you're used to. So, yeah, we're blessed right now with all the good quarterbacks. I mean, Kyler Murray, young guy, Justin Herbert emerging. Of course, you got Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow has been really good as well. Even Mac Jones in New England. I know he's not super exciting, but he's going to keep that team relevant. He's going to keep that team as a winning team for quite some time. So I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league right now, especially young guys. And that's only going to continue as college gets more advanced. And also as the NFL adapts more college schemes and things that college does, is going to make it easier for those guys to transition over. And I think for me, you talk about the 17th game and all that, and we've gotten some great gifts, but I got to go into some of the lumps of coal that we have gotten this year. And I am going to start with the worst gift that the NFL gave us this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that is officiating. Okay, I forget what player it was. It's a current NFL player, maybe someone who just recently retired. I retweeted it on my Twitter, but he said last night during the Tuesday night games, we expect these officials to have regular jobs and then come do officiating. They should be full-time in programs all season. And the player said, why aren't officials watching film? If they don't understand what teams are trying to do, then how can they understand where teams are taking advantage or where penalties are actually happening? I think that the NFL is putting the officials in a position to fail, quite frankly. And one of the big things that did it was that taunting rule. Nobody wants to see that. Like, the taunting rule is one of the symptoms that comes from the overall problem, which is how the NFL does not make the officials. Like, it should be a full-time, every day, Monday through Friday, every week, all year round. When they're not officiating games, they should be studying film. They should be watching tape. They should be talking, you know, like, the NFL has to put officials in a better position to succeed. And also, why are we measuring first downs and yardage and spots with a chain and two posts? What is going on out here? Like, if the NFL wants to come out and say, hey, it's just more dramatic to bring the chain link out there and see where it's at and it's better for TV, I can at least accept that. But right now, I see no reason whatsoever why the goal line doesn't have a sensor in it that goes all the way across. So we don't got to look and see if the ball made it past or whatever. Did it hit the sensor or not? There's a sensor in the top of the pylon. There's a sensor at the bottom. I just don't understand why the NFL puts the officials in this position. And the biggest symptom of that is the taunting calls. And I know they've fallen off a little bit, but some of those early season taunting calls, some of the pass interference calls there was a play in the Seattle game last night. The same officiating crew that did that Seattle game did the Raiders Cowboys game a few weeks ago or a month ago. And it's literally identical plays by a defensive back. One was called a pass interference. One wasn't either. And one thing that I've noticed is there was a play in the Titans Steelers game that got reviewed without a review. It wasn't a reviewable situation. It wasn't a turnover. It wasn't, a touchdown, anything like that. There wasn't a challenge by a coach, but the official, I don't think he meant to do this, but he said after review, the call has been changed to blah, blah, blah. Well, there was no review initiated. The official didn't go review anything. He got in his ear a little buzz from the league. Hey, change that call right away. That's not the right call. We can't waste a challenge. We need more of that. The NFL is a $10 billion company. And people say that, they review these things in Secaucus, or that's the NBA. They review these things in New York on the primetime games because there's so much visibility that they don't want the officials to really screw up. The NFL has enough money to pay somebody to watch every game, every Sunday, that intently. Every single game should have a replay official that not only is used, but is actively telling the officials, hey, you got to pick up this flag. Hey, that was a touchdown. And not only does that make the game more correct, but it increases the speed of the game and the review time and all of that. So to me, the biggest piece of coal that we've gotten is the officiating, but it's not the officials' fault. It's the league. And that's mine.
Yeah, mine is, tell me how you really feel, Tyler Rowland of Locked On Titans.
It's been an intense week for me.
Yeah, no, I can tell. Which is great. It's the rookie quarterbacks being terrible. That's mine.
They've been a
no redeeming qualities whatsoever. So here's the thing. It's not fair. But they're making a whole bunch of money right away. So there's this like inherent, well, return on investment time. Zach Wilson should not be on a football field yet. Trevor Lawrence maybe should, but they're so bad that it doesn't matter. Justin Fields, probably you feel the worst for him, even though if you were to run it back with all three of those rosters, Justin Fields, he's got some weapons and the defense isn't terrible, but they've had injuries. Allen Robinson is not going to be a Bear anymore, you would think. He's got his target in Darnell Mooney. Cole Kmet's shown some flashes. We saw the dude. We've seen enough from Justin Fields to know that he's going to be good. And he's going to be the best Bears quarterback they've seen since Jim McMahon. I mean, it's not very difficult to get there. Zach Wilson Spoken should not Jay be on the had field his right moments. Now. He did.
Rex Grossman took him to a Super Bowl.
I could have played quarterback for that team.
I know.
But Zach Wilson should not be on a football field right now. He just shouldn't be. Trey Lance, that could go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. And you look at, and who knows? It's way early, okay? So 49ers fans, relax. Brian Peacock, relax. But if Jimmy Garoppolo is good, that's going to be an Aaron Rodgers situation where he's going to play. They're going to extend him now. I'm assuming they'd either franchise tag him or give him a two-year deal. Trey Lance is a kid. He can wait and learn. But they gave 3 first-round picks for that kid. So the thing is, or 2, whatever it was, 3. We've seen 0 redeeming qualities, really, from any young quarterbacks this year. Unless I'm missing somebody.
Mac Jones has been Jones okay. Shown,
but the thing is, he's not as get impressive for as that.
People say. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
he's not going to get credit for that.
Carrying him.
Right. And that's it's not only because he's following in Tom Brady's footsteps, where you're drafting the same player. Mac Jones is way better in college, obviously, numbers-wise. It's a completely different game, college, et cetera.
Right.
Bill Belichick gets credit for that. They won a game when he threw the ball when he completed 2 passes, okay?
Yeah.
He's not going to get his flowers for that. He shows the most promise, but still, that's going to be regimented inside the ecosystem of Bill Belichick. So he's not going to get the credit. Plus, they didn't move to get him. He fell
for
15 or 17. True. So it has a little bit less pressure, even though it's in Foxborough.
Yeah, That makes all the sense in the world. Well, Alex, this is our holiday edition of the Thursday Locked On NFL show. We did the Thursday night preview, talked some power rankings, did some gifts, did some coal that we've gotten from the NFL as fans and people who cover the team. I hope you guys have a great holiday. Enjoy Christmas. Enjoy the weekend of football. All kinds of sports going on this weekend. Make sure you check out all of the Locked On podcasts for all your favorite teams, all the national shows. We're going to have you completely covered during this sports holiday season. But that's going to do it for me, Tyler Rowland of Locked On Titans. That's going to do it for Alex Clancy, host of Locked On Cardinals. We will be back with you guys next week. Enjoy the weekend.